the readings of today, and particularly the reading from the Genesis, has one of the most touching details, at least I find in the whole scripture. We have this beautiful and poignant image of God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, walking in the garden to reach Adam and Eve and to spend time with them, to talk with them, just like a father would do with his own children. This supposes that for the rest of the day God was elsewhere, not because he was not interested or didn't care about what his children were doing, Adam and Eve, but because he's a God who loves freedom and loves us to not to feel that he's controlling us, that is constantly over us, like a good parent should do with his own children. As we know, the best education is the education that lets children be, live. But the best parents are also those who are, take time with their children and at the right moment are there to give them the good advice and help them to draw the lessons from the experience they have had during the day. Unfortunately, that particular day, the experience the children had was not a very positive one. Whatever it is kind of meant by the allegorical description of what we have called the original sin, this very unfortunate expression, the result is... And this is probably the most poignant aspect of this beautiful image, that when God, when the Father, comes to spend some time with his children, he doesn't find them. The children hide from him. The children don't want to see him. I think that everyone who is a parent will immediately perceive the extent to which this must have been immensely, immensely painful for God. He doesn't find his children. His children hide from him. And we have, in a sense, in this image, the whole of the history of humanity, the whole of the message of the Bible summed up. God wanting to be with us. His very name is Emmanuel, be with us. Wants to be the God of every one of us. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, that is, of every one of us. But we constantly are afraid of him, hide from him, or antagonize him, fear that friendship with him or exposing ourselves to him might threaten our freedom, might threaten our identity, etc., etc. In the gospel, we have certainly even the realization of what was suggested by this image of the book of Genesis. There is a slightly mystifying to me why in the liturgical version of this passage, they've omitted the first five words. So it is, the passage is taken from Mark 3, 20-35, but the very first words have been omitted in the liturgical reading, and it is said that Jesus entered into a house, and then the crowd came together, and so on and so forth. This is an immensely important detail. Jesus enters into our homes. Again, is the same suggestion we have in the book of Genesis. God is not just up there or does not just want us to come to him. On the contrary, if there is a trait of the temperament of our God, is that he is the one who constantly comes to forward to meet us, constantly enters into our homes. And towards the end of the gospel, we have this other beautiful image of the people, his people, the people who trust him, the people who finally follow him, sitting around him and him talking with them. This is the most beautiful image of what is the result of God's salvation, if you want to use this word, of God wanting to have a common history with us, wanting us to be part of his own family, wanted to walk with us in the breeze of the evening, gently and friendly, and just be part of a history and having us growing with him like children do with their father. In the middle of this gospel, with these all beautiful images, these images of that suggest a God who is so close to us and so willing to be with us, we have this terrible sentence which has had theologians scratch their heads over the centuries about the sin against the Holy Spirit, the sin for which there is no forgiveness, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. On a personal level, I don't know what that is, and I don't think there is just one answer to this question. The only thing narratively from both these passages, the book of Genesis and this passage from the book of Mark, which gives me an idea of that, what that might be, is exactly what happens after the children, Adam and Eve, hide from God. God does not lose hope. Obviously, he knows where they are and calls to them, so still wants to talk to them. Now think, if they had said to God, well, God, you know, we did something wrong today. We disobeyed, or we every child can do at some point. Would not God have forgiven them? Would not God have probably told them, well, let's try to draw a lesson from this. Let's start from this and do something better, as he has done, in fact, with Jesus when he was allowed to do that, when we finally allowed him to do that. Instead, what they do is that they immediately, first of all, they say that they were afraid of him. Imagine that. Afraid of this father who comes to walk in the garden with them, to be with them. And then they start antagonizing him, making him guilty for what had happened to them. Just as in this passage, we have one of the most beautiful images in Scripture, we also have probably one of the most terrible sentences in the whole Scripture, pronounced unfortunately by a man, who says, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate. Basically, it is your fault. You have given me this companion, and had you not given me this companion, I would not be in this situation. So in a sense, there is total refusal to acknowledge one's responsibility, and that is even the suggestion that God is the one who is guilty of what has happened to us. Well, you know, the history of much of Western thought in the past centuries, especially philosophy, basically is just the development of this sentence. God is the responsible for all our problems, all our tragedies, all our suffering. This is, I think, what the gospel calls the sin against the Holy Spirit, is preventing God from being what he wants to be with us, putting a barrier between us and him, not only refusing to meet him, not only hiding from him, not only being afraid of him, but especially considering that he is the source of all our problems, of all our sufferings, of all our difficulties. God is not the Father, but is the problem. And the gospel of today reproduces exactly the same thing in different ways. God becomes the devil, becomes Satan, becomes the enemy, the opponent, the one who is to be eliminated. And also, again, very significantly, on one hand, we have God wanting to enter into our homes, wanting to be with us. And then we have the people who don't want to be in the home with him, want to stay outside, want him to go outside. Because just as Adam and Eve did in the garden, they don't want to be in a solidarity with everyone, particularly with those who trust him and follow him. They want to control him. This we can do with God. As long as he is useful for the realization of our purposes, as long as we can control him in one way or the other, and our institutions, especially the ecclesiastical institutions, have been very, very inventive in doing this over the centuries, it is okay. But certainly we are not going to expose ourselves to him. Certainly we are not to allow ourselves to be surprised by him. Certainly we are not going to accept to follow him without knowing where he is leading us, as the disciples accepted to do with Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, really, the challenge for us is whether or not we accept, we let God be what he is and what he wants to be for us. Whether we accept and let him to be with us. Whether we believe, and the extent to which we are ready to believe, that he is with us and he will be with us whatever happens. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in our lives that can be an obstacle between us and God, except our refusal to welcome him, except our refusal to ask forgiveness when we do something that is wrong, except our unwillingness to let him share our lives and share our histories. We are called to trust, as says the second reading, to faith. Faith is precisely this. Shall we trust this God who throughout the whole history of salvation has not ceased, has constantly tried to prove to us that the only thing he wants is to be with us?